We're talking with Don Close, Rabo AgriFinance. Don, let's talk about this report that you've just released here at the Cattle Industry Convention. Very appropriate that we're talking about this just on the eve of the next big discussion, the Live Cattle Marketing Committee coming up to talk about price discovery. A lot of folks still very concerned about what the packers have been able to do up to this moment because of the leverage they've gotten. Things changed dramatically, first with the Holcomb fire, but then secondly with the pandemic itself. And you've actually put your finger on three or four of those changes.
Those two have done it. I think it's a longer-term situation, Ron, that for 20, 25 years, we were focused on increasing the efficiency throughout the system. And through that efficiency, we were using that input to maintain or preserve or reduce the price of beef to consumers. And if you look at it in that long-term context, we might have just become too efficient at what we were doing with a just-in-time delivery system that it may very well be time take a step back, take another look, and do we need to build more insurance into the system to avoid the risk of another round of empty store shelves to consumers?
So is that what the Biden administration and Congress are doing by providing billions of dollars to, perhaps open up new capacity, these medium-sized, small-sized plants that everybody talks about?
Maybe so. I've got to be very quick to say I have a tremendous amount of trepidation if that's the way to handle this. I've said repeatedly, I don't think the big four packers are the necessary villain in this. And I think that we have a very high risk. As we see a $1 billion going into increasing slaughter capacity, and at the very same time we saw a cattle inventory report yesterday that showed our cattle supplies are cyclically contracting. But the timeline of when that cattle supply will be at its low ebb and the timeline for when some of these new facilities could be coming online, there will be a great deal of challenges for someone trying to enter the industry at that time.
Trying to find enough cattle to keep those facilities busy.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
So, when you look at those things that have kind of risen to the top in this study that you put together in regards to what's happening, what the reality is now that we're past this, the most of the pandemic, at least for now, it appears, what does that mean? What does that mean to that cattle producer that has made it through, has survived, is still in business?
I think the cattle producer that has survived and is still in business, and where we're at with the cycle, where we're at with beef demand, I think he's in a very solid position today. And I'm making that statement with full acknowledgement. We're dealing with some very challenging drought conditions that could be an influence for the next 12 to 18 months.
Right.
But for the long haul, I think the producer that you described that weathered the storm and is in business today is in a robust position to capitalize on this beef demand going forward.
And they're the ones that survived. That one graphic that you had up there about the difference between the cutout and the value of that carcass, that's an incredible concept. That picture tells so much of what happened.
It does. It tells a great story. The thing that I would add to that, when I look at that chart, I don't only see how far that cattle feeder's share of that relationship eroded from the extreme highs of 2014 and 15, but to the absolute depths of that abyss in May, June of 2020.
And for folks that did not see that, typically it's what you got 60, 65% of the value is normal, but then suddenly it plunged, what, to 30?
The long-term average of that relationship is about 54%. Okay, and when 14, 15, we got to those spike highs of 63, 64. But where I'm trying to go with this is, if you look at the extreme right-hand side of that chart, and from where we were in the spring of 2020 to where we're at today, that relationship's gone back to the 45 to 48% level. We're going back to that historical norm at a very fast rate.
So, end of the day, out of this report, any particular, I guess, suggestions to the industry or advice to the industry of what maybe where we go forward?
My real effort with this report was to bring up a set of challenges to the industry that when collectively would add considerable cost to the production chain. Stability, but increased cost. What I wanted to signal or identify to producers was there's, and most of those things, the average, there's nothing that the producer can do anything about. He can be aware of them, that they are in the system, and that he needs to be prepared with how to deal with that new reality. That was my whole point.
Finally, speaking of realities, that cattle inventory report that you alluded to, your thoughts about what that means for the industry for the rest of this year and really into 2023, 2024 as well.
I found that report to be incredibly bullish and way more aggressive liquidation than what my estimates would have been. I think we have a very high probability solely because of drought to continue to see cow liquidation in 2022. But the breakdown of that report, the lack of retention of females, the aggressive slaughter rates that we're seeing, I have concerns short-term, Ron, that we're front-end loading the market so aggressively that our available fed cattle supply for this spring and summer will continue to be a challenge. Once we make that breakpoint at early midsummer, the likelihood of seeing a counter-seasonal rally in the market and to see a fourth-quarter average fed price that is higher than our spring high looks just almost inevitable to me.